Welcome to the A Catholic Life Podcast. I am Matthew, the author of A Catholic Life, welcoming you to episode 53 of the A Catholic Life Podcast. In today's episode, on the first Sunday of Lent, I address the following topics. First, the first Sunday of Lent, some of the readings for this Sunday from the Gospel and the Epistle of today's Mass, as well as important information regarding the Stational Church of the day. I'll have more information in the show notes as well regarding the Stational Church devotion of Lent in general. And secondly, I go over in detail an article of mine in the past that I wrote regarding 20 different ideas that we can use to have a holy Lent. These are things we can do for prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. So I'll be going through those in this episode so you can continue to add these to your Lenten resolution. So that way, when we celebrate our Lord's resurrection this Easter, you will have truly fulfilled a holy Lent. But before we get into these topics, I'd like to stop and thank the sponsor for today's episode. This episode is sponsored by CatechismClass.com. CatechismClass.com is the leader in online traditional Catholic catechism content. They offer everything from children's catechesis programs to adult continuing education in the faith, along with marriage preparation, baptismal preparation for godparents and parents, confirmation preparation classes, quinceañera preparation, catechist training courses, and so much more. It is never too late to study the fullness of the Catholic faith. No matter where you are in your faith journey, no matter if you're a layman or a priest, if you've been Catholic your whole life or you're new to the church this year, CatechismClass.com is the gold standard in authentic Catholic faith formation, offering a course for everyone in all situations. Check out their special Lenten study course now, which is available for a limited time for 25% off with discount code LENT25. That's LENT25. Now on to the first topic of today's episode. We have begun the great fast of Lent. This past Ash Wednesday, we began the Lenten fast with, of course, the fasting and the abstinence, which is a true characteristic of Lent. And today, we begin the first Sunday of Lent. Now, of course, Ash Wednesday is not a holy day of obligation, nor in my research has it ever been, at least going back to the Middle Ages. There is no record of Ash Wednesday ever being a holy day of obligation, though the faithful, of course, have and continue to flock to church on Ash Wednesday since it is the beginning of the Great Lenten Fast. But today, for people who did not go to Ash Wednesday, is the first required day of Mass attendance during Lent, and as such, the Gospel and the Epistle really present before us the examples of beginning this holy season, although, of course, we did actually begin it a few days ago. The Epistle is taken from 2 Corinthians, which says in part at the beginning, quote, "We do exhort you that you receive not the grace of God in vain, for he saith, in an accepted time have I heard thee, and in the day of salvation have I helped thee. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation," end quote. Of course, the Epistle goes on, but the Church puts before us this Epistle this day because this is at the beginning of Lent, and this Lent is the acceptable time for us to win for our salvation. Lent has in many senses been called the tithe of the year. That is, we can make up for so many of our sins, our ingratitudes, our shortcomings, whether they be sins of omission, whether they be sins of deed, of thought, of word. We can make up for all of those during the Lenten season, specifically through our prayer, our fasting, and our almsgiving, if we do this in the state of grace. Of course, it really matters nothing if we do all of this and we are not in grace, as in we do not have charity. Refer simply to the Gospel and the Epistle of last Sunday for that reminder. If we can do all things, even to move mountains, and we have not charity, we are nothing. So we must do all this, but we must do so in the state of grace. The collect for today's Mass says, in part, O God, each year you purify the church through the Lenten observance. May the good works of your church obtain for us the grace we ask for through our self-denial. So self-denial is the key here. And the gospel passages from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, which talks about our Lord being led into the desert and how he was tempted by the devil and how he fasted as well. And after these three temptations, the devil left him and angels came and ministered to him. We are going into the desert of Lent. In fact, we left for the desert a few days ago, and hopefully we were preparing during Septuagesima for this period. But if we haven't, now is truly the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation, and this Lent may it be your best Lent ever. If you are new to the concept of fasting and abstinence, as in throughout the entirety of Lent, not just Good Friday and not just Ash Wednesday, and of course, abstaining as well, more than just on Fridays from meat, I want you to obtain a copy, if you can, of the Definitive Guide to Catholic Fasting and Abstinence, available on Amazon and other booksellers. The Definitive Guide to Catholic Fasting and Abstinence goes through in detail the Lenten fast. It goes through other fasting as well, but the Lenten fast in particular. This book was just released in the second edition, and the book is particularly important because it shows, for instance, one thing that people commonly say is Sundays in Lent should be treated as a mini Easter and they're not days of penance. That is simply not true. They are not days of fasting, but they were always considered days of abstinence, even abstinence from eggs as well and of dairy products. Because all of Lent, from Ash Wednesday until we celebrate our Lord's resurrection, there was no meat, no animal products allowed. And that has been lost. And in fact, this remained until relatively recent times, even the time of Pope Leo XIII. I have an article on the Catholic website, a Catholic Life website about this, and it's mentioned in the book in detail as well. But our history on fasting and abstinence has been obscure because people do not want penance. So please obtain a copy, learn what our forefathers did, and put it into the practice. Now on to the second topic of this episode. I'd like to discuss the article I wrote, 20 Pious Practices for Lent. What should I give up for Lent? Now, I wrote this article some years ago. In fact, I wrote it in 2012, but I continue to make some modifications to it over time. I will have a link to it in the show notes so you can read it in more detail. But here are the 20 pious practices for Catholics to practice during Lent. I want you to prayerfully consider incorporating as many of these as possible. 1. Abstain from meat. We all know that Catholics are required to abstain from meat on Ash Wednesday, Good Friday, and all the Fridays of Lent, but this is the minimum requirement, and the violation of this law is a mortal sin, and if you die without confession and contrition for this sin, your soul would be damned. It is that serious of a matter. The church's laws are the laws of God, and the church instituted this, along with all the precepts that must bind us mortally. But that to be said, this is simply the minimum practice for Lent. Traditionally, Catholics would fast and abstain from meat all days of Lent. This is something that went on for a very long time. As I mentioned a few moments ago, meat and eggs and milk would also not be consumed during Lent. So please abstain from meat and animal products if you can. That is butter, eggs, cheese, milk, etc. all of Lent, including Sundays. Secondly, fast. On Ash Wednesday and Good Friday, Catholics are bound under pain of sin to fast. Of course, fasting ends at the age of 60. But even if you're older, you could still fast. Only one normal-sized meal and two smaller meals that do not equal the meal are allowed. We call those snacks the morning one a frustulum and the evening one a collation. And traditionally, theologians would say the morning one, if you need it, should be no more than 2 ounces in weight, and the evening one, if you need it, should be no more than 8 ounces. Besides these, you do have, of course, just one meal. And if you can, you should have just the one meal. And preferably, like our forefathers did in the early church, it should be had after sunset. Eating between meals, besides this, is prohibited, though liquids are allowed. What does a liquid mean? Of course, it doesn't mean putting your food through a blender and drinking it. These are simply things that have very little nutritional value and low calories. So we're talking about things like water or some juices, maybe, you know, Powerade Light, things like that. Of course, this is just the minimum. Traditionally, Catholics would fast every single day of Lent except Sundays from Ash Wednesday until we celebrate our Lord's resurrection. In fact, fasting is the key hallmark of Lent. So please, you must find a way, if you're physically able to, you must find a way to fast more. 3. limit or remove television completely during Lent. And I would say the same goes through a lot of social media as well, from YouTube to TikTok to Facebook to Twitter. There's certainly ways we can use it for evangelization and for good. And even if we do that like I do, I hope you and I can tone down our usage of it so that we will free up more of our time to unplug and devote for prayer. 4, the Daily Rosary. This was the central request of Our Lady of Fatima. And she said on May 13, 1917, to Lucia Jacinta and Francisco, say the rosary every day to obtain peace for the world and the end of the war. And she would go on to continue to implore the Daily Rosary. In fact, in her final apparition, she said, I am the Lady of the Rosary. So pray the rosary every day and use Lent to start it if you need to, if you've fallen out of the habit. 5, wear the brown scapular. If you have not been properly invested in the brown scapular by a traditional Catholic priest, find one so you can be properly invested. Now, while those who wear the scapular are required to fast on Wednesdays and Saturdays, in addition to the daily prayer of the Little Office of the Blessed Virgin Mary, priests nearly always dispense the faithful to simply pray the rosary daily instead to meet the requirements of the brown scapular. So when you go through the investing, make sure you ask the priest. If you've already been invested a long time ago and you don't know if you've had that dispensation, simply ask your pastor so that way you can be sure it applies to you. If you've lost your brown scapular, purchase one online. These do not have to be blessed, unlike most sacramentals, and consider buying one for family members who do not regularly wear one and give them to them as a gift during this Lenten season. 6, observe the Saturday devotion to Our Blessed Mother. Set aside the first Saturday of this and next month, well, we've already passed it for this month, but of next month and going forward to honor the Blessed Virgin Mary's request to hear Holy Mass on first Saturday, to pray the entire rosary, and of course to spend time with her in meditation on the mysteries of the rosary, to go to confession, etc. More information in the show notes is available so you can ensure you fulfill the Saturday devotions. 7, go to an extra Mass or more during week. Sacrifice time and make the effort to attend the traditional Latin Mass more than just on Sundays, because every single day of Lent, there's a different gospel and there's a different epistle. If you're only going on Sundays, you're missing so much of the spirituality of the Lenten season that is flying by. Do not let it escape you. So if you can, attend Mass. And if you can't, at least pick up your hand missal and read those every single day, because you are missing new content. 8, add a holy hour once a week, twice a week, or more during the Lenten season. St. John of Vianney said, quote, if we really love the good God, we would make it our joy and happiness to come and spend a few moments to adore him and ask him for the grace of forgiveness, and we should regard those moments as the happiest of our lives, end quote. 9, pray for the souls in purgatory. We have an obligation to pray for our relatives and for anyone who have harmed us, and that we have harmed by our sins, and our enemies as well, those who have harmed us. We also have an obligation, in a sense, to pray for them. Our Lord wishes us to do good even to our enemies. A rosary before the Blessed Sacrament after Mass is extremely efficacious for the poor souls and can lead to gaining a plenary indulgence, all other conditions, of course, being fulfilled. We can also add the St. Gertrude prayer to our daily prayers. Additionally, we should seek to gain suffrages for the poor souls. We should want to, at least once this Lent, go to the cemetery and pray there for the dead. Walk around, say the office of the dead, or say the rosary. Look at the names on the tombstones and actually pray for that particular soul whose name you hear. And lastly, the poor souls in purgatory are greatly aided when we offer our Holy Communions for them. Make it a practice to offer your Holy Communion at least once a week for the poor souls in purgatory. 10, pray for those in danger of dying. Such prayers should be offered to Our Lady to apply as she desires, if she sees clearly who really needs the extra graces at any given time. 11, pray for anyone who you may have had the misfortune to lead into sin. Not only should we make prayers of reparation, but we should seek out those souls and seek to repair the damage, and Lent is the opportune time for this. 12, pray and work for the end of abortion. We should not neglect to pray for an end of abortion, which robs children of life and brings excommunication on all those involved in the murder of the child and bars the innocent life that has been cast aside from baptism and thus the ability to enter heaven. We must do also what we can to work for the end of abortion. And to that end, please support traditional Catholic pro-life charities that are in line with Catholic values, of course. 13, go to weekly confession. Confession is the only means that our Lord has instituted for the forgiveness of sins. If you're out of the habit of going regularly, now is the opportune time. Again, as the readings from Mass talk about, now is the day of salvation. So go back to confession. Of course, we must confess our sins, as the precept of the Church says, at least once a year. But if we ever have mortal sin in our soul, we should be going back much more often. And even if we don't, we should get in the habit of at least every 2 weeks going to confession so that way we can ensure we're always gaining indulgences throughout the year, because confession is needed so many days before or after the performance of a work that gains an indulgence. So please do so. And encourage others who have been away from the sacrament for some time, especially those in our family or our friends, to make mention of this in a way that is prudent, but also very charitable, and try to get them to confession. 14, make an examination of conscience at lunch or before sleep. As recommended in the spiritual exercise of St. Ignatius, make your examination of conscience at lunch and then again at sleep. We could reflect often on how our day is going, what we can do better in the end of the day, what we can do better the next day. And reflecting like this also helps us avoid mistakes, sins, omissions, and such things in the future, and it also makes it easier for upcoming confessions because we've recalled these as they happen. 15, make voluntary acts of daily penance. To Sister Lucy of Fatima, our Lord revealed that the penance he now requires is necessary for the fulfillment of his law and the performance of one's daily duties. We must do what we can to make daily penance in reparation for sin. And of course, fasting and abstinence is one of the great penances we can do throughout Lent, but we should be thinking the whole year as well, what sort of devotions and penances can we do? How can we offer stuff up in the state of grace in reparation for our own sins, for our family, our friends, our acquaintances, our enemies, our neighbors, our nation, and for the Church as a whole? 16. Perform good works of mercy this Lent. For instance, increase your donations at your traditional Catholic churches, chapels, monasteries. Give to traditional monasteries and convents. Support good traditional Catholic schools. Support crisis pregnancy centers in your area. Support local soup kitchens or things that aid the poor but are not aligned with non-Catholic organizations like the Salvation Army, which is a non-Catholic, anti-Catholic, even Protestant denomination. So support only things aligned with Catholic causes and do what you can to help the poor. If you see the poor in need, it's not always the best thing to give them money, if especially they abuse it, but we might give them things like clothes if they need clothes, or if they need a sandwich, we buy them a sandwich directly. This is something we can be doing during Lent. But of course, if we're buying them food, don't buy them meat on a day of abstinence. That, of course, would be a sin. 17, do apostolic works. For instance, take someone to Mass with you, take someone to confession, invite someone to become Catholic. Some people really think about becoming Catholic and they're just waiting for somebody to say, hey, you should become Catholic. Also, distribute Catholic books and booklets. Our Lady of the Rosary Library and St. Paul Street Evangelization have great pamphlets for very cheap prices. You can buy in bulk, you can pass out, you can put on bulletin boards, you can put a lot of big cities, you can put bumper stickers on, you know, different things around town. You can do all of this in a way to spread the faith. And you can also, for instance, encourage people to learn more on their faith, for instance, by buying them a copy of a catechismclass.com course, or better, learning the faith yourself through such affordable courses, so that way then you can go out and really be empowered. If somebody has questions on Mariology, if somebody has questions on the precepts of the Church or Christian morality, many times they look to fellow Catholics for the answers. And if you don't know the answer, it gives a bad example for the faith. A lot of people, especially if you're ever in a position as a parent or as a catechist, you must give a good example. So you must know your faith. You must take it very seriously. This Lent is an ideal time to spend time each and every Sunday of Lent, especially studying the faith. 18, perform 15 minutes of spiritual reading every day. The monks of the Order of St. Benedict have long required spiritual reading by all of their members during Lent. In the words of St. Thomas Aquinas, quote, union with God consists in knowing God perfectly. For the better for one is known, the more perfectly one is loved, end quote. 19, consecrate your life each day to God. Each day this Lent, pray and renew the consecration to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and consecration to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And number 20, pray the Stations of the Cross. The Stations of the Cross are often prayed on Fridays at Catholic churches during Lent. Make it a resolution to go each Friday to Stations. And if you can attend in person, you can still pray the Stations at home. You can listen to them. For instance, there's different YouTube recordings of them, and you can say it and apply the benefit to the poor souls. Of course, keep in mind there are necessary conditions for earning an indulgence for the Stations of the Cross. That and so much more information is linked to in the show notes. But above all, as you can see, none of these practices include giving up chocolate or candy or dessert. This is a modern misconception that Lent is about dieting or giving up time wasters in order to increase productivity. It could not be further from the truth. For those of you out there who think Lent is about getting in shape and increasing efficiency, you have received your reward, as Matthew 6:5 says. The discipline of Lent has done little to help your immortal soul. This Lent, prepare and ask yourself, what sacrifices will you make? What alms will you give? What fasting and abstinence will you undertake? What additional prayers will you say? I close today's episode with the words of Pope Benedict XIV from the 1700s. He unfortunately was the first pope to allow any meat to be had during any days in Lent. He gave in to the pressure of modern society around him. But even as he finally gave in to that pressure, he still implored the faithful with these words, quote, "The observance of Lent is the very badge of Christian warfare. By it we prove ourselves not to be enemies of the cross of Christ. By it we avert the scourges of divine justice. By it we gain strength against the princes of darkness, for it shields us with heavenly help. Should men grow remiss in their observance of Lent, it would be a detriment to God's glory, a disgrace to the Catholic religion, and a danger to Christian souls. Neither can it be doubted that such negligence would become the source of misery to the world, of public calamity, and of private woe," end quote. Thank you, everybody, for listening. May God grant you a most blessed week and a blessed Lenten fast. Let us strive for greater holiness this and every other week, but especially during Lent. Ad Maiorem, Dei Gloriam. Quid olis peccata mundi.